Ephesians chapter 3. Rarely in my 37, 38 years of being a pastor have I been so taken up with a portion of Scripture as that of this amazing prayer of the Apostle Paul. To be honest with you, it's actually shaken me to my core, and even to some extent has physically wore me out. Which makes me to understand what Paul meant when he said that he wished, first of all, that they would be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Now, hope and pray this morning that God would grant me the grace, the Spirit, and also the physical support to be able to preach this portion of Paul's prayer, which I believe is very essential for all of us this morning. I'll discuss it a little more later towards the end of the sermon, but I do regret that I didn't learn this earlier in my Christian life, because I think it would have made a world of difference. I don't blame any preachers of my past or anyone who God had placed in my life to be my mentor. I always had Scripture, and I always had the ability to read it. And I know that, and I'm getting ahead of myself, I know that in Job, Elihu said, age doesn't always have understanding. But I pray that you would listen to me this morning and learn from my experience, as sad as I am by it, that you might learn it quicker than I did. Because if we don't know or grow to love Christ more than anything in the world, and everything he teaches us, we're not learning right. We haven't learned Christ. I believe that's why this drove Paul to his knees. Because it was so significant and so important that the Ephesians understood what Paul was talking about. And Paul knew that without divine assistance, they would never understand it. And so I hope and pray that by God's grace, I can somehow this morning preach this unsearchable riches of Christ to you, and that all of our hearts would be mightily affected for Christ. Especially when in this day and age, when so many people, even those who profess Christ, are so preoccupied with the troubles and trials of the world, I think they've lost sight of Christ. It's one thing to say, I know about the love of Christ. It's another thing to experience, to relish it, to hold it more dear than life itself. And that's what Paul's saying. And this amazing prayer of the Apostle Paul on behalf of the believers at Ephesus was very much in character with his own passion and longing to know Christ and his great love more perfectly himself. This prayer is perfectly in character with the Apostle Paul. Turn with me, if you will, to Philippians chapter 3. I want to read you Paul's own words to prove that this was very much in character with Paul's own longing to know Christ. Philippians chapter 3, a well-known passage of Scripture, but let us read it together down to verse 11, beginning in verse 7 of chapter 3. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, that I may know him. Paul was so apprehended, so seized and taken up with Christ, that he counted all things but dung, that he might know him. Everything that he counted to be an advantage for him, a gain for him, Paul said, all of that is nothing but dung in comparison to the knowledge of Christ. He desired to know nothing else. Nothing else more occupied his heart and mind than Christ. And yet, the more he thought himself to have apprehended Christ, the greater he said he was apprehended by Christ. As soon as he thought he obtained something about Christ, Christ just got bigger and better and more amazing and more immeasurable. It actually, literally consumed the very life of Paul. So Paul, to the Ephesians, would write and pray that God would grant them to know something of this knowledge of Christ's love, that they too could understand and embrace this unsearchable richness of Christ. The very heart and soul of this wonderful prayer on behalf of the believers is Christ. It is a rare thing today to see professing believers so consumed with Christ in such a manner of which Paul speaks. You look around professing Christianity today, you see little excitement, little fervency, zeal, joy about Christ. There used to be in the ranks of God's people this spirit of excitement and freshness of, like the new love he speaks of in Revelations, the church in Revelations, that first love that was so excited and so fresh and so wonderful. And it seems like so many today, there's so much spoken of Christ, but there's so little heart for Christ. And the reason I say that is because we can see that in their actions and in their character. Many show an infatuation for Christ. Infatuation is merely a short-lived emotion. Yet whose hearts and minds are more preoccupied with their own selfish pleasures and comforts than that of Christ. Except Sundays when they exert themselves to show some interest in Christ, only to return Mondays to their daily lives with little or no increased desire to know Christ and his love more perfectly. It's a short Sunday infatuation over Christ. Yet once they return back into the world, there's little thought, little contemplation, little meditation on the things of Christ. Yet for the Apostle Paul, he said, to live is Christ. Very simple and yet very profound. For me to live is Christ. Therefore, his prayer for the believers at Ephesus is that God would grant them to know Christ's dwelling presence in their hearts by faith. God, I pray that you would grant them to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. I wonder how often this is what our prayers consist of. Not merely the wishes and desires we have that God would grant our prayer request, which is of itself not wrong or sinful, but how much of our prayer is spent on wanting to know more of Christ? How much of our prayer is in the spirit and in the desire of the Apostle Paul? God, may Christ dwell in my heart more by faith. May I be able to comprehend the breadth, the length, the height, the depth. May I be rooted and grounded in love. And God, may I know more about the love of Christ. That old hymn said, I need thy presence every passing hour. That's why this prayer, I believe, is for us today so significant and so important. Because like I said, I mean, the world and Satan is doing a very good job of preoccupying believers' minds with the troubles of the world. I think we can fit that into what Paul said. He says, you're troubled at my tribulations for you. He said, don't faint at my tribulations, which are for your glory. And then he goes on to this prayer. Don't get caught up and preoccupied with what's going on in the world and the trouble they're having. Fix your heart and mind on Christ. This is what he's saying. You're looking at my tribulations thinking, oh my, these might come to us. Paul says, but that's not what you need to be concentrating on. You need to be concentrating on Christ dwelling in your heart by faith, you being rooted and grounded in love, being able to comprehend and to know the love of Christ. That's what you should be concentrating on. It breaks my heart to see so many Christians caught up in the arguments and disputes and debates. Endless discussions, what's preoccupied this world. We'll get into that too in a minute of an old hymn, but it's true. When the love of Christ consumes us or occupies our entire being, it doesn't matter what happens around us. The world could be falling apart. This is what Luther said in his hymn when he said, let them take children and wealth and prosperity, but give me Christ. When I see Christians so confused and rattled by the present circumstances and events of the world today, I wonder if their heart is as settled in Christ as it should be. This is what Paul is praying about. After praying that they may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, he said, and length and depth and height of Christ's love, he now prays that God grant them to know the love of Christ, which surpasses, excels knowledge. He's already prayed previously, let them comprehend what is the breadth, length, height, and depth. But now he takes it a step further. I don't pray that they only comprehend what it is, but Father, I pray that they know what it is. Are you following me and Paul? To comprehend is an intellectual assent. It's to understand something. It's something that's stuck in your mind. And yes, we do need to understand something about Christ if we're going to love him properly or biblically. God doesn't just go straight to the heart. He goes through the mind. He wants us to understand. He wants us to grasp some truths about Christ and him. But that understanding needs to go south. It needs to go down into the heart. It needs to affect the heart. Because if it doesn't, all our learning and all our intellectualism does nothing for us. And that's what Paul's praying for. Let it begin with the comprehending. Let them understand what is. But Father, let that comprehension lead to experiencing personally the love of Christ. Now listen closely to me because this is very important for all of us. Though comprehending what Christ's love is important, Paul said that in the previous verse, it is ultimately coming to a personal and intimate experience of that same great love for which Paul prays. Now listen closely to me because there's a lot of people that will deny this in this day and age of theological intellectualism. They say, preacher, you're on the borderline of mysticism. You can call it what it is, but I'm telling you, if you haven't experienced personally and intimately the love of Christ, what in the world is your Christianity good for? Just to have abundant knowledge of God and be able to debate and argue with others about doctrinal thesis? What good is that if it doesn't affect you personally? If you know nothing of the intimate love of Christ yourself, if you haven't personally experienced the love of God, that'll just overwhelm your soul in such a manner that it leaves you weak, sometimes breathless, sometimes physically wore out. Sometimes when Spurgeon preached, he had a chair in the back of the pulpit. Sometimes they say he'd have to sit down because he was so overwhelmed by the power of God as he was preaching, he couldn't physically bear it anymore. Have you ever longed for that kind of relationship with Christ? Have you ever sought God that He'd be so near to you and close to you and in such a reality to you that your heart is so overwhelmed that you don't care what happens in the world? The only thing that matters to you is Christ. It's not mysticism, that's Christianity. And we, when we come to personally and intimately experience this great love of Christ, this is when the world shall truly know that we're His disciples. Because that blood, that love for Christ will bleed over, so to say, into our lives for the love of others. What's the great commandment? Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, your mind. The second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as thyself. Paul wanted them to know this. Paul wanted them to experience this. The believers at Ephesus were no strangers to Christ's love, just like many Christians today, for they experienced His glorious salvation. They know the love of Christ. They must have experienced it in their salvation. They have some kind of awareness of God's love, and they enjoy singing the songs about loving God and God loving us. But Paul said there's so much more you need to know about Christ's amazing and immeasurable love that only God can give you. So Paul prays, Lord, let them know what the love of God is. Let them know, he says, the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that beyond, surpasses, excels all knowledge. There's so much more to know of Christ. I remember a time in my own Christian life, shortly, but a time in my own Christian life and with some brethren over in Germany when we'd sit down and we'd speak about the things of Christ. There'd be four or five of us and one would be sharing what God had showed him in the Word of God and the other one would say something of the like and say, yes, I've seen that. And for hours we'd sit around and we'd just talk about Christ and what He's done to us and what He's done in us and what we've learned about Him. And there would be such a spirit of unity and love and excitement and joy. I told a brother this weekend, in the Old Testament, there is a verse that said there was a book of remembrance that God keeps for those who speak off to one another. And what better subject to be speaking to one another than that of Christ? I think the two brethren walking on the road to Emmaus, I believe the Lord drew near to them because they were speaking of Christ. So He drew near to them and opened to their hearts the Scriptures. Paul knew the believers at Ephesus were no strangers to Christ's love. But he said there's so much more to know of it, to personally, intimately experience it. Some of our old hymn writers expressed such great need to know more love of Christ. That's why I like the old hymns. But let me just read of some of them. You got them in your insert there. But the one on the right, Love With Every... I tried, Brother Dave, I tried to learn the melody. And I'm not familiar enough with it to get up here and do it. So maybe we can one day. But the one on the Loved With Everlasting Love. Listen to how they express this in this hymn. Loved with everlasting love, led by grace, that love to know. Grace's Spirit from above, thou hast taught me it is so. Oh, this full and perfect peace. Oh, this transport all divine. In a love which cannot cease, I am His and He is mine. Heaven above is softer blue. Earth around is sweeter green. What's he saying? Creation is different since I see it in the love of Christ. Sometimes something lives in every who Christless eyes have never seen. Birds with gladder songs o'erflow, flowers with deeper beauty shine. Since I know as now I know, I am his and he is mine. Things that once were wild alarms, things that scared him, cannot now disturb my rest. Closed in everlasting arms, pillowed on the loving breast. I think we sing about John in that verse. Oh, to lie forever here, doubt and care and self-resign, while he whispers in my ear, I am his and he is mine. His forever, only his, who the Lord and me shall part. Ah, with what a rest of bliss Christ can feel the loving heart. Heaven and earth may fade and flee, firstborn light and gloom decline, but while God and I shall be, I am his and he is mine. Man, I'm telling you, the old hymn writers knew something about what Paul was praying. And I know we live in a day and age, and every day and age has had it, where people put so much emphasis on feelings and emotions. Paul isn't talking about emotionalism. Paul's talking about a reality. He's talking about a personal and intimate relationship with Christ. He said in 2 Corinthians, the love of Christ constraineth us. That old hymn which we almost sang this morning, O love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. You know, when we are so caught up and aware of the love of Christ, there is nothing in this world, nothing in this world that can alarm us. It removes all fear and anxiety. And it grants a peace of heart and mind that is so overwhelming. This is what Paul was trying to say to them, because this whole prayer comes about because they were fixing to be or faint because of his tribulations. And he says, you're not understanding something. You're looking at the outward. You're looking at the problems. You're looking at the tribulations. Don't do that. So he says, God grant them these things that they might know them. And I'm getting ahead of myself, and I'll get there in a few minutes. But he said that you might, he says in verse 19, he says, and to know the love of Christ as passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. I'm getting ahead of myself, but if we come to experience and know this love of Christ he's talking about, then we will be filled with the fullness of God, because everything that we have is in Christ. And if Christ is our everything, we have the fullness of God. Doesn't make us God. That's not what he's saying. But we have the fullness of God. Everything God can give us is in Christ. And when we're made aware of that love, that immeasurable love of Christ, then we will feel the fullness of God in our lives. Everything we learn of Christ, every scripture God graciously reveals to us, every circumstance in life, if they do not lead us into a deeper, more intimate understanding and experience of Christ's great love for us, we haven't learned nor gained anything. Everything is ultimately about this simple prayer request, but supreme. That they might know the love of Christ. In my haste to learn more about Christ, I wish I would have understood more perfectly the great need of divine assistance in knowing Christ's love more fully. Listen to me, no matter what you read, no matter who you read, no matter what God might providentially put you through, if you remember anything of this, I want you to remember this. A lesson an aged man sadly learned too late in his years, and I hope you don't. If it doesn't lead to a more personal, intimate relationship with Christ, you haven't learned right. He's talking to brother this past week. This is me thinking as a human being, not questioning God's providence or sovereignty, but I wonder if as a pastor I might not have been able to help more people if I knew this more perfectly 20 years ago. Love Christ more supremely, yes. But pray God show you more of Christ's love for you. That is the key to everything in life, to our existence. It's loving Christ, but knowing Christ's love as well. So that we might be filled with the fullness of God. This is what Paul's desire is for the believers at Ephesus. That God would grant them to know the love of Christ. That they might be filled with the fullness of God. Do you know the Bible says Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily? He's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It's an amazing statement. Colossians 2:9. It also says in 2 Corinthians, for all the promises of God are in him, yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. So he's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All the promises of God are in him. And to know personally and intimately the love of Christ, who is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and who are all the promises of God, how not but to be filled with the fullness of God. Do you understand now why the old hymn writers, they went so deep about loving Christ and about Christ's love for us? When I survey the wondrous cross upon which the Prince of Glory died, Jesus, lover of my soul, more love to thee, O Christ. May God give us grace to ever be echoing this prayer in our own lives, because without a divine assistance, it won't happen. Let us pray that God would grant us to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, to be rooted and grounded in love, that we might be able to comprehend with all saints the breadth, the height, the length, the depth, and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that we might be filled with the fullness of God. Now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we... You see how that flows? It just flows. Paul's grace just flows from grace to grace. It just gets bigger and better. And what I like about this is the end of chapter 3, the first three chapters was doctrinal. Beginning in chapter 4, he says, if you know all these things, walk worthy of your vocation in all lowliness. I love how the Holy Spirit led Paul to write that. If you know this, then walk worthy of your vocation with all lowliness of mind. May God give us grace to ever be echoing this prayer, and that God would grant us to know the love of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I doubt that there's any human words we could even say that could expound on this great truth. I know that I can't reach the heart of men, but Holy Spirit, I know you can. Lord, this is my desire, my wish that I could have known this earlier, more perfectly. But Lord, I thank you for showing it to me, revealing it more perfectly to me, even in my later years. I pray, Lord God, that you would help us all, regardless of how old we are in the Lord, regardless of how much we profess to know, that Lord, this would be our greatest desire, that everything you show us would not puff us up in pride, but Lord, it would lead us to that love of Christ, that we might know something of the fullness of God. Lord, I pray that you'd bless us in these perilous and confusing days. Help us, lead us, guide us, and direct us, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. All right, I know we're only few, but let's go have some fellowship around each other and the Lord. May the Lord bless us in that, okay?